Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God this evening, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's interesting. This particular message you'll hear tonight is actually in conjunction with the word study that we may do in the future time. It has to do with it. But this particular thing we'll talk about in just a moment. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Beginning in verse 6. Of 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, then, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." I couldn't get away from the fact that Paul told Timothy, this young preacher boy, and in this case he has been installed as the pastor in Ephesus here at this time in his life. And it says that Paul tells Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." And folks, listen, I don't want to be a mediocre minister. I don't want to be a bad minister. I don't want to be an minister. Okay? You say, what is that? It's kind of, Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, right? I want to be a good minister. He said, Paul tells Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you know, that kind of stuck with me. I said, man, if I want to be a good preacher, I guess this is what I need to talk about. I need to remind our people of these things. Now, in the past, two and a half years, I think on at least two different occasions, I've talked about either the word godly or godliness or living a godly life or something like that. I'm sure Brother Losey could probably look it up for us in the archives and such, or just in the recesses of his mind, something like that. This is not necessarily just a message on godliness. As we go through here, I think it's much more than that. So I've kind of titled this first one. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but this is going to be a little study on building a godly life. A godly life. Now, to be godly and to have godliness, those things are wonderful. But if we're going to build a godly life, it's kind of a day by day process, kind of a continual process. Something that can be passed on to the next generation as well. You know, it talks about Jesus Christ being the foundation or being the head of the corner. And, you know, we talk about that and talk about building up our spiritual house on Christ as the foundation and building it to such a place to where it's tried by fire, it will withstand, right? I mean, the wood, the hay, the stubble will be burnt up, and the gold, the silver, and precious stones will remain. So what does it mean to these things? And Paul says here, he says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And you refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He goes on in verse 7. Verse 8 he says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Okay, now follow this here. If you look down at the end, he says in verse 15, meditate on upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. So if godliness is profitable unto all things, and he says, meditate on these things, think on these things, give thyself wholly to them, so that thy profiting may appear to all. So what's going to make Timothy profit? Godliness. And what's going to show to all of those that are without in his life, in appearance? Godliness. If he does what? If he meditates on it? If he gives himself wholly to it? If he exercises himself unto it? If he does these things? If he commands these things? If he teaches these things? If he reminds the people of these things? If he does not neglect these things? Whew! That seems like an awful lot. But it's building a life of godliness. Building a godly life. Well, I was speaking about exercise. And I had some pictures in the notebook about weights and weightlifting. You know, weightlifting is a process. I'm not looking around at very many bodybuilders per se. Maybe some of you secretly are. The only kind of bodybuilding I know to do has to do with this part. Donut in, donut in. Amen. Donut out, right? It was so funny the other day. Flora was eating something. My wife would probably choke if I told her. I'm going to tell it to you anyways. But her little belly button was popping out. I said, oh, she's full. What a great indicator, you know, just poink, and there it is. Anyways, I don't know why they, bodily exercise. When you're exercising and building muscles, right, it's a process. And there's a certain way to go about it, and I'm not going to get into all that this evening, but if you're going to actually accomplish anything, you can't just go to the weight room once, you know, and, I'm going to just lift a whole bunch of weights till I can't lift any more weights. And that'll build muscles. No, you'll just hurt for a long time. That's what's going to happen. Okay? Now, I don't suggest you do this, but if you were to ever research bodybuilding or muscles and weightlifting and those types of things, listen, there's a very specific process to all of this. It's very scientific. I mean, it's biological, if you will, right? But if you were to go in and say, okay, I'm going to go lift weights once a week, right? That's going to profit little. It's going to do something, but it's not really going to do it. If you really want to put on mass, if you really want to be able to flex and rip your shirt, you know, like that, like I do sometimes. That's why I wear short sleeve shirts. Never mind. You're going to have to put some effort into it. It's going to have to be a daily thing or a multi-time a day thing. There has to be a diet incorporated into that. The fuel that you put into your body, the way you go about it. Listen, there's a way to tear down the muscle so that it rebuilds. There's a process to all of that. Some weightlifting is for conditioning. Some is for building. Some is for other things. You understand that there's all kinds of things to do. And you say, well, I'm just gonna do curls. Well, that's only gonna exercise one muscle group. Okay, you gotta do, you know, butterflies, and you gotta do skull crushers, and you gotta do other things. I dabbled in this a little bit when I was an older teenager, but you understand it didn't do much for me because I didn't stay with it. But that's what godliness is like. Paul equates building a life of godliness to bodily exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little. But he says, rather godliness is profitable unto all things. So if we want a life, and he says here, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So this is something special. This is something that Paul thought was necessary to equip a young pastor in a wicked city with. Now, I want you to go on your own, go through and study about the church in Ephesus and the city of Ephesus. Okay? And Miss Diana, this has nothing to do with you. Okay? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Right? Okay, very wicked goddess. Evil. Horrible. So, what do you think was necessary to even survive as a Christian in Ephesus? Godliness. Shun profane and vain babblings and these old wives' fables and these other things. And he says, refuse it. Push it away. Get it out of your life. Don't even let it enter the doorposts of your home. He says, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. Because godliness is the thing that we need to be able to survive in this wicked day. In this wicked time. If we're going to have a church that's going to stand and shine brightly, it needs to be a godly church. And guess what a godly church is made up of? Godly people. And godly families. Godly husbands and godly wives and godly children. Godly grandparents. Godly grandchildren. Folks, listen. We have got to build godliness. We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Godliness, I'll just remind you, as I'm sure I've told you before, it's just simply defined in the dictionary as a religious life. Now, that's too simple for me, okay? Because there's a lot of people that say they're living a religious life. I need some more specific details here. So how about this? A careful observance of the laws of God and performance of His commands. Proceeding from. So in other words, why? What's the motive? Love and reverence for the divine character of God. So that's the thing. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my words. If you love me, just live a godly life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So refuse to go back to the old life. Refuse these things and exercise yourself unto godliness. So you see, building godliness is actually kind of something we have to do. We have to get rid of the old and build up the new. Now, we can go all the way through the early part of the book of Romans and talk about getting rid of the old and building up the new. Getting rid of the old and building up the new. That's something that needs to happen continually in our lives if we're going to build godliness. Just like going to the gym. If you're going to be serious about building muscle, then you're going to have to take it seriously. You're going to have to watch what you eat. You're going to have to make sure you have a program, a process, and follow that process to get success. That's why not everybody is walking around tearing shirts every time they go to pick up something. Not everybody does that. So we need to be the kind of Christian that's going to say, I want a godly life. And I'm going to take the steps necessary to build a godly life. So what is it that we can kind of look to see about a godly life and how it is going to be built in our lives individually, in our lives as families, and in our lives as a local church? One of the first elements that I see here, look at verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So it was one of the things that's necessary that I mentioned in bodybuilding, in exercise and muscle. What was one of the things that's key to building a muscle system that's something that you're looking for? What did I mention? Food. Nourishment. So what do we need to be nourished with to be able to build a godly life? That's right. He says, be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Look over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Maybe just a page or so. In my Bible, it's on the next page. Look at verse 3. Paul tells Timothy, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Now, folks, this is too good. What do we think of when we think of eating healthy? We think of nourishment and we think of wholesome. I don't know how better this can get. If we're going to talk about bodily exercise and building godliness and this illustration of building the body and building godliness, and a body needs to be nourished and have wholesome foods. Well, what are we supposed to be nourished up in our godly lives? With words and wholesome words. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, then he describes these wholesome words. Which words are wholesome? Because, you know, on the cereal box it says, you know, whole grain. You know, 85 grams of sugar, but whole grain. You know, just ignore the rest of it. You know, Frosted Flakes. Yeah? It's whole grain. Covered in sugar. Amen? Wholesome. What are wholesome words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's words are wholesome words. Christ's words are nourishing words. And then he says, here, and to the doctrine. Which is according to godliness. Folks, I told you this couldn't get any more perfect. God's word is perfect. If we're going to build a life of godliness and learn to build a life of godliness, we've got to be nourished up with wholesome words. Nourished up with words, good words, words of doctrine, words of faith, the words of Jesus Christ. All of these which are according to godliness. What's it going to do for us? It's going to provide the nutrients necessary to build. Just like the right kinds of foods give you the right kinds of nutrients that your muscles need to grow. It's not different. We've got to be nourished up with wholesome words, good words. In Proverbs 15, listen to this. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Guess what word we're going to find next? The wholesome tongue. is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You can go and lift all the weights you want, but if you don't have the right nutrients in your body, your muscles are not going to grow. Or at least they're not going to grow like they're supposed to. This says here that wholesome words are a tree of life. And it says that the foolish words and the perverseness is a breach in the spirit. It's going to block. It's going to cut off that building that we're trying to do. What's perversion? It's anything that's not of the natural, the right way. It's opposite of it. What is this world full of? Perversion. It's opposite of God. It's opposite of the things of God. And it's going to breach our lives, not build our lives. We need to make sure that we're building our lives with the right things. Wholesome words. The words of Christ. The right kind of doctrine. In Luke chapter 4, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" Now, was Christ harsh at some times? Yes, he was. Were they expecting him to be harsh this time? Oh, you better believe it. They were ready. And they could not believe the gracious words that came out of his mouth. You understand, folks, that we need to make sure we follow Christ's example. In John chapter 6, he said, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Yeah, Jesus spoke some hard things. But listen to what he said. He said, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." We need to make sure that our words are wholesome words. They're Christ's words. They're words that are good words. Good doctrine. That they are words that are of faith and of life. You know what these do? These nourish our bodies, they nourish us in the spirit unto godliness, which profiteth unto all things. In Proverbs 25, verses 8 through 12, the Bible says, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Folks, we have a lot of things that we know to be true, we know to be just, and we know to be right. But can I tell you something? There's a way to say it. And there's a time to say it. And sometimes the Bible even says that the fool uttereth all his mind, but the wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You understand, folks, there are some things in the Bible that I should be following, that you should be following, that we should be passing on to the kids. But there are some times where that's not the right thing to say at the right time. And there are, so what is it? What are we saying? This is what we're talking about. Exercising ourselves to godliness. Choosing the times, choosing the places, choosing the ways. I tell people all the time, you know, it's not wrong to tell an authority, you know, if they're wrong or something like that. But you know, there's a way and a time and a place to do that. There is. Can authorities make mistakes? But you know what? As a principal, you know what I was not going to allow? I was not going to allow a child to stand up in the middle of class and start a riot berating one of my teachers. That's not the time, the place, or anything for that. Now that teacher might be wrong, and that child might be right, but there's a time and a place for those things. That's a word fitly spoken. That's choosing well your words. Could Jesus have sat in the synagogue and totally roasted these guys? Absolutely. But what instead did he choose to do? Be very gracious with his words. Did it have an impact? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You understand that this is what we're talking about. We're talking about our words. Not only the words that we speak, but the words that we hear. We need to speak the things that become sound doctrine. We need to hear the things that become. We need to live these things. They need to be in our mouths, in our minds, in our hearts. You understand that the Bible tells us the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The Bible says that a good man, Jesus said, out of the goodness, good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. In Matthew 12, the sister passage to this, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You understand that out of the abundance of our heart the mouth speaketh. So, listen, that's why he says they need to be, they'd be words of faith and of good doctrine. And over in 2 Timothy, or in 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. It talks about this person. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Why? Because of the words. Because of the words. They need to be the right kind of words. They need to be nourishing words. They need to be wholesome words. If we're going to be able to build a life of godliness, before you can ever pick up that first weight, before you can ever begin to exercise godliness in your life, you need to pay attention to the words that are in your life. The words you hear, the words you think, the words you read, the words that come out of your mouth. All words. Doesn't the Bible tell us? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever, you know, right? The whole list. Think on these things. If they bring you virtue, if they bring you praise, think on these. What is he talking about? The nourishment that's needed to build a godly life comes from words. Words of faith. Good words, words of good doctrine, words of Jesus Christ, words that are according to godliness, not ungodliness. Not things that cause strife and that are corrupt minds and destitute of the truth and all these things. He says, from such withdraw thyself. We've already talked about in the past that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, so we can't be taking all this junk in and expect to build godliness in our lives. We can't. We've got to have the proper nourishment. In Psalm 19, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words. They're righteous. They're holy. We need to make sure that we have the right kind of words in our lives. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 also and said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What are we concerned with? Do you think about the things that you say or are going to say? You ought to. Consider them. Are you built? Are you even able to build a life of godliness based on the nourishment that you have or don't have in your life with this thing of words? Well, that was the first point of the introduction. This is a very deep subject. But you know what? I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Folks, we need godliness, especially in this ungodly world. You know what that's going to do? That's going to help us shine brighter and brighter, because it's so dark out there. Even the godly is ungodly. You know what I mean by that? Remember I said one of those definitions about godliness was a religious life? What do you think the Pharisees were, folks? Whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. So they were building, right? But they were bodybuilding, but they didn't have the right nourishment. They were a generation of vipers, right? He said, hey, how can you speak good things? He was getting after them. It has to do with our words. The words we hear, the words we see, the words we think about, the words that are in our heart, and then the words that come out of our mouth. They need to be words of faith. They need to be good doctrine. They need to be the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be wholesome words, nourishing words, which are according to godliness.